Oh, that's right. We are right back here on the Isle of Ann show. I have Major General Robert Livingston on the air with us. He is the Adjutant General for South Carolina. How are you doing today?
I am great, and what a wonderful time of year, crisp air, and a chance to talk about our wonderful veterans.
Absolutely. You know, Veterans Day is, well, I guess it's officially Monday. We're actually having a parade right here in Greenwood on Sunday, and our new Hall of Heroes Museum is opening on Sunday right there at the Veterans Center.
Well, that's great. We'll actually be up your way in Lawrence doing the candle lighting that the Veterans Affairs does with for the Hall of the Wall of Heroes or Hall of Heroes that y'all do both in Lawrence and in Greenwood. So just a great time to recognize all the people who've made our lives possible.
You know, the thing about this great event that we do, the Hall of Heroes that you're talking about, we just had one. I think we had 22 inducted into it right here in Greenwood. The thing about it is, you don't realize how many great things and how many people put their lives on the line because they don't talk about it. They just did their job, and then they came back from wherever they've been, whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq or World War II veterans. I mean, it just happened, and they did their job, and it's just amazing that they don't jump up and down and say, hey, look at me.
It really is. You know, I think that's what one of the things that makes America so great. And if you look all the way back to our founding, is you have people that are in their own right very successful individuals, but then they're willing to give up of those comforts and sometimes risk their entire lives, and certainly their physical life, to go forth and do things for our community, our state, and our nation. And then they come back and so humbly just blend back into society. But what you do, what y'all do at the Hall of Heroes is incredible. And when I talk to my great veterans and my families and things, one of the things that the thing that concerns them the most, and it's not their personal well-being or anything, is that people will remember the sacrifices made on their behalf. And so it is so key that we spend time remembering what makes our nation great, those who have sacrificed themselves, and to contemplate that a little bit and to say thank you. And you say that through what y'all do with the Hall of Heroes, through and the community up in Greenwood, that area. Y'all are just so patriotic and just understand what makes this country tick.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, and I think we do. But, you know, I know a lot of veterans that I talked to today, particularly our older veterans that served in whether it's Vietnam or the Korea or any of the other events. They are really concerned about the direction of our country, General Livingston. And the fear that what we have fought so hard for is slipping away.
Well, and you know, I share that concern with them. First off, as a country, and our president, our secretary of defense have all said that, you know, the biggest threat facing this country is, in fact, our debt. And when we look at the components of our debt, we see a lot of those components are things that, you know, benefit individuals. And we become a nation very obsessed with my individual self as opposed to the nation. And we're almost counter to what our great veterans stand for. You know, individual success and then moving on to take care of community and state and nation. And I see that drift. It's not the politics of today, it is the reflection of the American people. You know, back during World War II, probably 22% of the nation was directly involved in the military, So you could see you got 22%. You got so many other people that touched that, and so many people involved in the war efforts. Well, we get to Vietnam, it's about 9%. Today, it's less than 1%.
It doesn't seem to touch everybody. It does in South Carolina. I've never lived in a place where veterans have such in our war effort and the people are so concerned about them. But it doesn't affect people the way, like you said, World War II or even Vietnam did.
Right. I mean, it's not that constant awareness, I guess. And I say that, and South Carolina is special, and in a very good way. I've been to so many homecomings. I've sent troops off. I've gone off myself and come back, and the welcomes that we receive, the understanding, the assistance. I'm so proud. Our South Carolina National Guard. If you look nationwide, the unemployment rate among National Guardsmen is probably double what's ever in that state. In South Carolina, we're half of the unemployment, less than half of the unemployment rate. We're below 3.5% unemployment with our National Guard people who have returned. And that is a reflection of our employers' appreciation and recognition of the abilities of our veterans coming back. And this trend also goes way beyond the National Guard. I mean, it goes to all of our veterans. And we've just got a state that really appreciates the people who make sacrifices.
You're right. But I have to say, if it hadn't been you spearheading and then putting Colonel Ronald Taylor in that position to work with families and work with state government and with our employers, would we be in as good shape today? Because I remember when you first came on board, this was one of your big things that you wanted to focus on.
It was. And, you know, what I find is that when you educate people about a situation, they respond. And that's what we have done. Is my great team has gone out and told people about these great returning veterans and their abilities and things, and they have just swooped them up. I mean, you know, 3.5%, that's pretty much full employment. So and we're talking those who are underemployed and everything else. So this is that big number everybody talks about. So it's just the people of South Carolina are just wonderful, and so are our veterans. We go back to the humbleness of them. My experience with the Hall of Heroes, both in Greenwood and Lawrence and that whole area up in there where y'all do that, it is so interesting to see the emotional response. You see veterans that have Silver Stars, veterans who have been wounded multiple times, multiple Purple Hearts, people who have gone away for 3 or 4 years and then came back, people who have gone through horrific times, and that little bit of recognition by their community,
yes,
causes such an emotional response from them, because
yes,
people in their hometown understand and recognize them.
Absolutely.
And telling that story is just so powerful. It is a way of recognizing the veterans, but it's also a way of shaping the future of our youth. It's so wonderful to go now. On a couple of days from now, I'll be sharing some time with some of our World War II veterans. Tomorrow night. And then the next morning, I had the privilege of being with some of our high schools to talk to our students. And when you start talking about these stories and you start talking about this great service, it's amazing the effect that it has on the youth of America. I think we ought to have Veterans Day every day, because we need to tell stories about people who sacrifice for others. And not just people who have done it in war, but people who have sacrificed their lives in peacetime, and even extending that to our first responders and people that care about others. And that just shapes our future generations and shapes our nation.
Well, you know, if we don't tell these stories, they get lost.
That's right.
And that is why it is so important to be able to tell the stories and to have them written down, but then to bring them to life with real-life people that you can put right there in a whether it's in a classroom or in a group conversation or in a big conversation, it really makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
Now, I wanted to ask you also about, since we're talking about veterans, and we have a lot of veterans that are coming back, and then I understand, I talked to Colonel Taylor yesterday, we're going to be deploying more veterans. But I wanted to ask you first about, I had your wife, Barbara Livingston, on. We talked about hidden wounds. I was just wondering if you could tell us anything, what kind of progress we're making with our veterans that are returning that have those hidden wounds.
You know, it is a challenge because our veterans are so proud that they don't want to admit any weaknesses. Once we have identified a issue, we have great resources to bring to bear, but this is a constant challenge to enlist the help of the families, to enlist the help of the people around the support group, around the particular service member. We've made great progress. I mean, if you look at our the kind of that tip of the iceberg, that suicide rate, it has been slashed. We used to be about double the average for South Carolina. We're now half the average for South Carolina among our National Guard veterans, and we're seeing some progress on our other services veterans. And it is really, again, that awareness within the family and the support group that can really get hold of that person and move them to a better place so that then we can bring help to bear and not letting them go. I mean, many years ago we had a instance of a person said, hey, you need to get some help and I'll arrange for some help. Well, he kind of let him go, and then the person did something bad rather than holding on to them and taking them. And those are some of the lessons that we've learned. Accessibility to help, but also once you recognize someone is in distress, is not letting them go. Because once you get to that point in your life, you lose all touch with reality. And we have, through wonderful services and this group therapy, one of the things that I have really been impressed with is the true psychological care that some of our people have gone through with this combat badge program, where the family member and members who have gone through a stressful time can really just sit down and talk it out. And they replace this replaces a lot of this drug therapy we have out there. And, you know, there is a place for drugs, but that is such a touchy place that you know, sometimes drugs can go bad. But we've had some wonderful counselors out there that are really reaching out and helping these troops talk through these very, very difficult issues.
Absolutely.
So the short answer is we are making progress, but it is a daily challenge. If we let up one moment, something bad can happen.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, I think the one thing about the National Guard that sometimes we don't even think about is how, you know, we always talk about them going overseas or going here, going there, but they're here right here for South Carolina in case of emergency or things, and you've done some training.
Oh, absolutely. We had an actual rescue mission yesterday. One of our helicopters went up and did a helicopter rescue for a hunter that had been injured, and had they tried to walk the hunter out, it probably would have been a fatal incident. He's doing fine, and life is good. So we are here to respond with specialized equipment in the event of a large emergency, like a hurricane or earthquake or a large chemical spill. We are here to respond with the manpower and the expertise. And that's the neat thing about being associated with these great heroes that are in the National Guard is, you know, even when they're back from the war, and we still have over 1,000 over in Afghanistan right now, and we keep them in our prayers every night. But even when they come back, they are here in that dual-use role and able to respond to the needs of the people of South Carolina. And that's just a wonderful group of people to deal with every day.
Sure, and you have to be ready, and I understand, you know, sometimes you're even getting new equipment in, and everybody has to be trained on this new equipment. I think, what did you have last, was it first of the week, last week, you had a preparing for 6 inches of snow and all the things that could happen. I think that was up in Greenville,
yep.
Was it?
Yep, we are, we're going through our record drills, and we're also going through our ability to reach inaccessible locations with our, I mean, we've got some high mobility equipment that we can get just about anywhere. And so if somebody gets in distress, we will be there. And that's the, you know, we can either apply very specialized equipment, and we have devised the ability to take, you know, some of the classified information systems and make them declassified. Because when we're here in South Carolina, we are in support of the local sheriff. And the local sheriff calls the governor up, and the governor says, go help that local sheriff. We are there. And so we want to make sure that we are supporting them and not coming in as a big military, but we're coming in as South Carolina citizens with a large pool of people with great skills and with great equipment. And so one of the pieces that we've worked very hard in the last few years is integrating into the local government, and we've run a lot of exercises. We talked about Ardent Sentry last time, and over on the west side of South Carolina, and the great integration that we had there. But it's all about caring for the people through their local governance.
Absolutely. And I think to just two more questions. One, what effect do you think, there's a big question whether sequester will continue next year and the effect it's going to have on National Guard and the military if these cuts that they're talking about, if they stay in place. What do you think, General Livingston?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
And the reason it's tough is from a logic standpoint, sequester is a bad way of doing things because it's just a let's just slash and not care about what we slash. We're just going to slash. However, I go back to one of my first statements is that our debt is our greatest threat. So that's something that we somehow have to tackle and have to deal with. So while sequester is not a good thing, if we don't have any other way of dealing with debt, then it is a way of doing it. And having said that, I think our Congress will continue to deal with the threat of a ever-expanding debt with sequester. I think it will be a difficult thing for our military to live through. Our military is not used to the restrictions that that puts on the military. Quite frankly, I think that we can, if we take a very methodical and intelligent approach to our cuts within our military, we can weather that storm fairly well. So I think it's going to be difficult. I think it's going to certainly restrict some of our capabilities, but it's not as bad as some of the alternatives. On the other hand, the sad thing is you can eliminate the entire military and still not solve our debt problem. So there's a lot more work to be done, and it's just not adjustments in the military. It's adjustments throughout all of the federal government.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they deal with that up there in Washington. And, hey, listen, I just wanted to, I had started to talk about the families and how important the families are to our military, to our National Guard, and, of course, for the guys and gals that are overseas to have the confidence of knowing that the family is surviving is so, so important, and the support that the National Guard does give the families.
It is extremely important. I don't care what service you are. Our families, as a service member, that's why we go to war. We go to war to take care of our families. So the care of our families is of the utmost importance, and the welfare of them. And on the other hand, the support that our families give us is so critical to our service members' peace of mind and their ability to focus on their job when they get into a combat zone or any type of service. So this family care piece is very important, and the families really have it tough. They're back here in a relatively unstructured environment where a lot of things are happening, and they're having to assume all these duties at the same time, having to deal with the concern that they have about their loved ones being in harm's way. And it is interesting, during my deployments, my kids were a little bit older, but it still affected them. So it's, it affects children from newborns to 30 and 40-year-olds. It affects parents when loved ones go over. Now, when we go over, we're focused on the mission. And so we have a little bit of reprieve in that mental anxiety, but the families, they go through it, and they are truly our heroes, and they just do wonderful things. We, as those of us who are back here, when others go over, it is our privilege to help these families through these difficult times. We can't live their lives for them, but we sure can help them with our experiences and with some of our resources.
Sure, and the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that we can have a National Guard family living right next door to us. It's not like being on a military base where we know that everybody in that base is gone, or there's just a small staff left, but they may have been deployed. In National Guard, they are members from all over the community.
Yes, and that's the power of the National Guard, is that the community can rally around and understand the families. And so just, a little bit of effort through the community to know those families and to work with them and to understand the sacrifices that they are making, I think it's good for all of us. And it helps people understand, again, what is being done to help this nation continue to be the greatest nation on the earth.
You are so right. Well, we are almost at the top of the hour. I know that there are going to be veterans parades and ceremonies all across the state. Is there any few words you'd like to say as we wrap this up, General Livingston?
Well, I just, again, would like to say thank you so much to all of our great veterans and to our families of those veterans. Y'all are truly my heroes. You're what makes this country great. You represent the best of this country. And please, don't be so humble that you don't tell your story. Please tell your story, because it is these stories that make the history of our nation and the great traditions and lineage of our nation, and it helps people understand what we're all about. So if I have anything to say, tell that story.
I like it.
Because it's a wonderful story.
There are wonderful stories, and we try to get them every so often right here on the radio. Thanks so much, Major General Robert Livingston. God bless, and thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you so much, Ann. Great to be with you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.